This morning, we want to speak about His presence gives us rest. I found many years ago, as most of you know, Bridge and I were both in business. We had the privilege of being in business and owning two businesses and doing all that business stuff. And then I gave up my real job and went into the ministry. And a friend of mine said to me, he said, when you're tired of being a pastor, you should go do something simple like elective brain surgery. And so here we are. In His presence gives us rest. Let's look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. It says, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. Verse 14, and He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I've learned over the years, and that's why I didn't ask anyone to put up their hand, because I've found out that if you are driven, take stock of yourself, because the devil drives, Jesus leads. And I understand being driven. And when we live in God's presence, when Moses was having this debate with God, God promised Moses, when He confirmed His presence with him, He says, my presence is going to go with you, Moses. Chill, take a relaxed pill here and be happy. He didn't say to him then anything else. He said, and I'll give you rest. He didn't promise him a great ministry. He didn't promise him a deeper revelation. He didn't promise him wealth and luxury. He didn't promise him any shortcuts in the wanderings and the trials and tribulations. And I really want to speak to the young people there for this piece here. I know some of you, you look at the successful businessmen and women and you go, I want to be just like that, but you think there's a shortcut to get there. Go and ask them. They'll tell you there's no shortcut to get there. That's long hours, diligent in business, working hard, making a path in life and going forward. He promised him rest. Indirectly, he actually said there will be tough times ahead. He said there will be some things you need to go through to develop some character in you. In Matthew 16:24, it says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that was all Kevin's exhortation this morning for us. It's all about Jesus. We have to understand that when He gives us rest, it says, follow me, but through all of this, I will give you rest. And sometimes we're clambering. The rest that we're looking for is not the rest that we suppose. It's not like chill and relax. It's not just like get yourself easy, chill out, do something. He says, when He promised us rest, there's something more at face value. And we understand that for the body to function, well, I don't know about you, but for me anyway, I need rest. I used to be young and 20 stupid, and I used to do the most amazing things. I thought they were amazing, and now I look back and I'm, man, if you make me stay up after midnight, I'm in trouble. But I used to work all day, then go and party all night, get home at 5 o'clock in the morning, shower and shave and go back to work. And I could do that for 2-3 days on the trot. Man, wasn't life grand? I know some of you are thinking, did you lose your mind? It's just the capacity that the Lord gave me. And I was happy for it. But it means that we, wherever you are, in your busyness, in your activities, wherever God has got you, wherever you are going on this road with Him, we are at rest. Paul says, he was fully at rest in Philippians 4. He says, I have learned the secret of being content. Can we say that? I've learned the secret of being, I'm content in what the Lord has for me. In it and through it all, He wants to give us rest. And we understand that the rest that He's talking about is not what we think it is. You remember that song, old hymn, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus, I learned to trust in God. We got to get to that place. And I think a part of that came out this morning in the church. If we don't know who we are as family members of this church, how do we ever going to know who we are in Christ? It is the greatest gift we can have, the greatest revelation that we can ever have, is knowing who we are in Christ. That was why Paul could say, I've learned to be content in everything. I don't need this and that and the glitz and glamour. And maybe you do, but learn to rest in Jesus. Scripture recognizes the physical and the spiritual rest, but it also stresses that the resting place of humanity lies in God. The rest I'm talking about is not vacation-style rest, and we all need that. The rest I'm talking about is not, oh man, I'll just chill. And Mark said, hey, it's cool that we can just chill and be lazy. No, the Bible speaks against being lazy. We've got to be hard at work, working hard. The purpose of rest is twofold. Number one, his rest gives us peace. You know, if you watch Scripture, you'll always see in Scripture there's always a promise and a condition. Well, what about grace? It's all in there. It's all about grace. But there is a promise and a condition. Listen to this from Philippians 4:16. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, that's an imperative. It's not like, well, maybe if you feel anxious, it's okay, and then you can do something else. It says, do not be anxious about anything. When we understand who we are in Christ, when we are at rest in Christ, when we have peace in Christ, we won't get anxious. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean that sometimes I get anxious? Yes. Do I float 3 inches above the ground? No. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, I've asked him 556 times. Yeah, go for number 557. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You want your heart and your mind guarded against the evils and the things that they shouldn't be doing and where they shouldn't be going? Well then, don't be anxious about anything. Bring all your requests, prayer requests before God with supplication and thanksgiving. We always want the supplication. We always want the big questions. We forget to go, oh, thank you, Lord, for answering that one for me. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, thanksgiving. I think sometimes it's great just to have a prayer meeting all together, as I preached, all together when we say, thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for just, I've told you many times, and I'll tell you again, I often come here on a Tuesday morning when no one's around and it's dark in here, and I come and I just sit here and I go, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your graciousness and your amazing love for us, for this amazing building that we have. Yeah, well, why not? This is our house, isn't it? Are you thankful for the house you live in with your family? Then you should be thankful for this house too. That's not in my notes. That's for free. The peace of God is our Jehovah Shalom. Shalom being nothing missing, nothing broken. It's perfection at its best. Psalm 16:8, I've set the Lord always before me. The writer here, he's got the right idea. It's not, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get here. I'm going to go there. Oh, yes, Lord, are you okay with this? How about us, Lord, what, where, how? Supplication, thanksgiving. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Now, that should become like a mantra for us. Learn this. I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord, I'll never make a decision without going to the Lord. Number two. His rest renews our strength. Isaiah 40:28, there's a whole bunch. Well, let me read it. They cut short my preaching time this morning, but that's okay. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. I think we started off with this in the morning this morning. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. No one understands me. No, God knows. God understands you. It's unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men, women shall fall exhausted. Young guys, if you think you got it all together, pay attention. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are we ever at a stage where we go, oh, I'm so exhausted, I'm so tired, I'm so... Yeah, no, you're speaking that over your life. Stop it. The Lord is my encourager. He is the lifter of my head. The world around me and everything that's going on around me, man, is disastrous, but I'm coming to the fellowship, I'm coming to the all together, I'm coming to the corporate gathering, and I'm going to worship the King, and I'm going to give Him praise. And when you walk out of here, we go, woo, something happened to you. What happened to you? Because we saw you when you dragged yourself across the entrance this morning. And now there's a spring in your step. Why? Because the Lord is good. He gives us wings like eagles. We will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Without peace and strength, there is no rest. But we don't have strength in the Lord. And that's why, for Bridget, the big thing, by the way, she and Louise send their love. The big thing is the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why with Bridget, she's like happy-go-lucky. And so when she's unhappy, then you can finish it. My job is to keep her joyful. Because then, this is not selfish. Then it goes well for me. So what destroys our rest? What is it that destroys our rest? I know I had it in my note here and I missed it and it just brought to mind. We have to understand, it's not vacation style. And when we look at Exodus 33, and he says there, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. We need to understand the exegesis of that. Is that the rest that they were talking about is Canaan. It's not like come with me through the desert, because they didn't cut things short there. They extended their time for themselves in the desert. But their promise was Canaan, and that was where they would enter their rest. For us, it's every promise that He has for us, every eternal blessing He has for us. Every day as we walk in His presence, as we step into the presence of God, now, there is a difference between knowing about the presence of God and living in the presence of God. His rest renews our strength. What destroys it? Number one is our busyness. Ecclesiastes says it this way, 2:23. All his days, his work is pain and grief. How do you like that? Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. And if you've never had any pressures in business, you haven't a clue what I'm talking about, but most of you, I guess, do. And sometimes you toss and turn and you can't sleep at night because there's pain. We got to find that sweet spot. You know, the golfer will tell you about that sweet spot. When you hit that ball in the perfect and that thing goes straight, it doesn't get, you don't shank it, you don't send it into the rough, you don't do anything, it just goes straight. And you go, I did that once. Yeah, I remember it was a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Psalm 39:6. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. Our busyness. Never ever heard of anybody on their deathbed who cried out and said, one more deal, one more deal, one more dollar. Well, let's get one more dollar. One more hour of business, please. Let me go to the office for one more hour. No, but I have heard people say, one more hour with my family, please. Famous church leader said, one more soul for Jesus. One more soul for Jesus. One more opportunity to testify for Him. But society has trained us well because we're like hamsters on the treadmill, and the hamster has left long time ago. And the treadmill is tick, tick, tick. And we get onto the treadmill not knowing we even got onto it. I've told the story, and so I won't go into the whole thing, but when I was in business, I worked for a big shipping conglomerate, and I realized talking on the cell phone as I was driving home, because we were allowed to do that in those days. And I heard my echo of my voice in it, and I was like screeching like a banshee. And I realized, man, you sound like you're stressed out, bud. So I said to the person on the other end, am I shouting? They said, yeah, I wondered when you were going to get it right. I was their boss, so they were too scared to tell me that I was shouting at them. And I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. And I had to go home and make some decisions about what I call career-limiting decisions, but that's okay. In God, they were promoting ones. Some people just live to work, and some people work to live. We have to understand the difference in that. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. If everything, well, okay, I'm busy, all right, I'm not going to go to Connect Group, I'm not going to go to church, I'm not going to the prayer meeting because I'm busy. You're too busy. We think it's a badge of honor that we wear. I know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you, it's not a badge of honor. It's a badge of dishonor. If you honor Jesus, he will honor you. Second thing, thank you. One little voice there. Is this getting too difficult this morning? Are we good?
We're good.
Okay, there we go. All right, number two, our conflicts. 2 Corinthians 7:5. When we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. So you could say they were physically tired. But we were harassed on every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. You see, when we live in conflict, it creates a fear within. We think we're good. Ah, I won that argument. No, it doesn't work like that. Paul was in conflict with the Corinthian church. You've heard me say it. The Corinthian church weren't the perfect church. A better church would be the Ephesian church, if you go and read it. The Corinthian church were always in conflict, and they had to write these things, hard letter to them. And we miss everything, and we get to chapter 12, and it's all about the gifts. We've got to have the gifts. But he was actually saying, don't misuse these things. The way is love. We learn to love one another. When we are continually in conflict with family, we continue conflict in our marriages. If I dare say, some marriages are like war zones instead of gardens of Eden. You need some peace in your marriage. Stop it. Amen, brother. If you're in conflict with friends, if you're in conflict with those in business, if you're in conflict with your church family, stop it. Thank you. When we have external conflicts in the natural, it will create a fear within, because if I'm in conflict with Michael, I know I've got to see him at least Friday morning, at least some to Saturday morning. Every Sunday morning I've got to see him, and now I've got to go and walk around him. Hi, Michael. How are you, Michael? Meanwhile, internally I have no peace, and I want to, oh, Michael. It's not real. I'm just saying. Someone going to prophesy there's division amongst the elders? No, there's not. Number three, our unconfessed guilt. This is what breaks down our rest. Psalm 32:3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy. Some of you don't even know the Lord's hand is heavy upon you. You're so dialed out. You're so dialed out of his presence that you don't feel this thing on your chest. And you're going, what is that? My hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of July. Summer. Sela. Just pause and think about that for a while. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Pause. Isaiah 57:20. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. Have you ever been down to the beach? Coming from South Africa, I used to surf quite a bit as a youngster. And then we'd go down and we'd have a look and see what wind was blowing. If it was a southeaster, and there was like a little shore dump, and you'd see the holidaymakers from upcountry come down, They would like get in there and grind their faces into the sand, and then the blue bottles would sting them, and we'd sit on the beach and go, holiday makers. Dredges up all the sand, and so when the surf comes over, it's not this crystal blue water, it's all brown because it's got sand and seashells and everything in it, and then you dive into it. And that's what the scripture's like here. It says, and there's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You know, as a sinner, I had lots of fun. My sin was fun. I had fun. I used to do the craziest of things. So I thought. Because I was deceived. Man, this is fun. This is fun. But inside, I always knew when I came back to earth, there was this emptiness inside of me. And only Jesus can satisfy that. And only when Jesus satisfies that and you acknowledge that, peace will reign. Number three, what characterizes our rest? Well, number one, I'm so glad you asked. It's the absence of anxiety. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. In everything, not some things. Know that we fight for and against the powers of, remember last week, power of purposeful prayer, by our Lord Jesus Christ and the mercy of His Holy Spirit. When we bring our petitions to Him, He is listening. I don't know if God's listening to me. He's listening to every single thing you say and you do. And He says when it comes, there's a supernatural, not a psychological change in our hearts. It will guard our feelings and our hearts and our mind. When we are in right standing with God, there's nothing that comes against us. It will try. It will come and try and cause doubt. That's the enemy's go-to thing. The enemy is so thick, in over thousands of years, he's never come up with anything different. Did God say? Are you sure? And then we, who don't know our identity in Christ, don't know what the Word of God says, and we go, maybe it's right. I'm not sure. And we've got to go, no, devil, you don't know what you're talking about. I am a son of the Most High God. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I walk and stand in His righteousness. That's who I am in Christ. Yeah, and then we can get all, forgive me, I'm not the head, but get back behind my pulpit here. Number two, the absence of social conflict. What characterizes rest when there's no social conflict? James 3:18, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now we have to know there's a difference between peacemakers and peacekeepers. You think keeping peace will help. It doesn't help. Because peacekeepers just don't say anything, don't do anything, don't upset anybody. And we were like that in our family for a number of years. When my dad was grouchy, it was children play quietly. He'd tell her, I played every sport there was that you could imagine. How do you tell me to play quietly in the back garden? Don't wake your father, he's sleeping, it's Sunday afternoon. Until he came to Christ. And then we were good. Absence of social conflict. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, not some of you, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Well, you don't, it's my right. You don't have any rights. Is this coming across too hard today? It's not meant to. It's meant to help you, to liberate you, to feed you, because we are bought at a price. We don't have rights. I belong to Jesus. He is my master. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I do what my master tells me to do, not what I think is good. We want to live with the absence of social conflict. Some people are good at doing conflict stuff. Others are not. Those who are not probably tend to do it badly. Because instead of just approaching it with, Michael, help me understand why you said that about me, we go with, you always say this about me. Husbands, wives, that's the worst way to start a come to Jesus moment. That's like, you always say this about me. You always do that. Just like, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. Third way, absence of fear. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous hand. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Condition, don't be dismayed. Look to Jesus. Let the Lord be before you. Promise, I will do all this stuff for you. In Mark 4:37 to 38, Jesus in the boat, the storm is going. What's Jesus there? Who's in content, in rest, in peace? Sleeping. Which disciple are you? In the boat, rocking the boat. Jesus, wake up, there's a problem. He's like, what? Storm, stop. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? That's what he says to them. You think this is a hard sermon? Man, I've been with Jesus 3 years and I'm in the boat and he's my Lord, he's my master. I've seen him raise the dead, heal the blind, heal the crippled, do the whole deal. And I'm in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and I can tell you I've been there, and the storms come up that quickly. And the boat in those days were half the size of the stage. And I can imagine holding on, and I'm a fisherman, but I can't swim. I don't know, just poetic license. They were afraid and uncertain what would happen next. I would like to be in the place where I go, yeah, well, Jesus is with me, so what's the storm like? What's happening? Faith and obedience are the key banks to the river of peace when we live in his presence. Number four, the presence of God. Exodus 33:14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. When we're with God, when we look to him all the time, when we trust in him, when we have faith in him, when we find our identity in him, and he says, go this way, let's go this way. True rest is found in God alone. It's not in your smarts, it's not in your bank account, it's not in your house, it's not in your career, it's not in your wife, it's not in your husband, it's not in your kids, it's not in your parents. It's in God alone. Finally, the how-tos of rest. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart. King of the universe, I am lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke is a metaphor for the discipline of discipleship. Now, I know some of you are going, discipline? I don't want no discipline. Nobody tells me what to do. No, your Lord and Master. The Greek word is called a zugo. A zugo is a beam of balance. My zugo is my connecting beams of scales will keep me in balance as I walk this road in his ways. He says, take my yoke upon you. Number one, take my yoke upon you. In Leviticus 26:13, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled to walk you with heads held high. Jesus is offering us something new. He says, though, if you go and you study all that scripture that I've given you, it says, when I brought you out of Egypt, I took that yoke and I broke it. In actual fact, I smashed it into small pieces, which means it can't be put back together again. And I brought you out of the liberty of the law and I brought you into the freedom of grace. And that is the metaphor that they're making there, because they had this yoke of slavery, this yoke burden upon them. And the Lord's saying, I brought you out and I broke this whole thing. The problem with us is that we are on our hands and knees with super glue trying to fix that same yoke back together again so we can walk in the bondage. Because some of us like that part of us. And I'm going, no, let's not do that. Let's take his yoke upon us, which is easy. He broke that law of us. But we carry a different yoke now. We carry the yoke of discipline of the Lord and Master of grace upon our lives. And you can become weary of carrying guilt around you and the consequences of sin. I'm going to go old school again, if you remember. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a guilt of shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. That should be our victory song. We had this old yoke upon us. We were taken from the kingdom of darkness into his glorious light. And we came and broke the bars of a yoke, the shabar, break down, break off, break into pieces. That's what it means. Jesus offers us true rest and saying, take my yoke upon you. In the army, when I was in the military, I'm 6'1" or something like that. And then we'd get another 6'1", 6'3" guy. And then a guy who was like 5'8" would join the line. When I talk about Paul Peter, you know these wooden telephone poles outside? I'm talking about those. Three guys to one of those. We'd pick them up on our shoulders and we'd run. Of course, me and the guy in front, we're like heavy burden. And the short guy in the middle was like, hey, guys. This is great. But we got to learn to be like that, not take this heavy thing upon us. Be like, man, Jesus says it's light and it's easy. Let's do this. Let's yoke into him. And this is not a yoke. Jesus says, come and be joined with me in carrying this weight. I know. However, the burden for you is light. It's not a heavy burden. Jesus has taken the weight upon it because we yoked in with him. He's carrying the heavy load. We're doing the light work. Secondly, he says, learn from me. There are many entities out there today that vie for our attention, for our busyness, for our non-rest. Works against what Christ offers. They offer affections. Philippians 3:18, for many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears. Paul weeping over this Philippian church. I'm telling you this with tears. The guy who got stoned, rocks thrown at him, by the way, just so we're clear, got beaten with a whip, was left for dead. This tough guy, I'm crying for you guys. I'm with tears. Walk as enemies of the cross, the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly and their glory is their shame with mindset on earthly things. The enemies of the cross live with our own physical needs, our own praise needs, and our own performance needs. Because you know that it's about me. They encapsulate the needs of humans, of earthly needs, which we think helps us in God. Now, God helps us in him. We are looking at it the right way around. Our physical needs. It beckons us to rest in what we think we can buy. The harder I work, the more money I thought I would earn, the more better my family would be. No, until you become enslaved to that thing, till you are driven and not led by Jesus. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll are no new plans of the enemy. Old, old, old. Our bodies and looks, our kind, you know, just check me out, selfies, you know, look at me. Girls, can I just say something? Don't do that. I don't care how beautiful you are, it looks so ugly. It's just your pastor saying that. Just be your natural. I have three nieces in South Africa and they do this and I'm like, stop! Because they're pretty girls, but then they do. I don't, anyway. Moving on. Our praise needs. Power and recognition beckon us to rest in what they can give. Oh, you're so amazing. You're so wonderful. Are you so good? Got to be the center of attention all the time. Always needing man's praise. How about listening to the praises of your father? How about hearing what he says about you? Now, don't get me wrong. I know we all like affirmation. But if that's the thing that you need to feed on all the time, there is a better way. The Father wants to let his fatherly love shine on your life. And of course, the third one is our performance needs. Our need to be the man or the woman with the power for the hour, the rising star. Man, as I said to you earlier, my rising star in business. And I'll tell you, we think that the people who bat for the other team get it all wrong. No, they don't. There was every morning, and I used to walk to work, there was just a woman used to walk past me, and I used to notice, and she'd always like, and I'm going. And eventually she stopped me one day, and she said, I'm a fortune teller. I just want to tell you that your star is rising, and there's a big promotion coming for you. And I was like, okay, get away from me, lady. But I was nice. A week later, I got a huge promotion, a huge salary increase. The world is vying for our affections. You know, people who are gifted prophetically don't just get this gift when they become a Christian. It's a whole sermon. Anyway, that's a gift they have. Anyway, where am I? But none of this brings rest for our souls, because in the end of 19 says the end is destruction. He says, learn from me, my balancing beam of discipleship. Take my zugo upon you. Number three, I am gentle and humble in heart. Opposite to those who rejected Jesus. Although fuller authority, Jesus approaches us with a servant heart. There's no anxiety here. There's no social conflict here. There's no fear here. The same Jesus who has all the authority, not some authority, all the authority. Just think of this for a while. To drive out demons, save the sinner, heal the sick, all in 1 minute. Approaches the kingdom of hand, who died and rose again for us, who cleared the temple with a whip, who can stop a storm, calm the sea with one motion of his hand. The same almighty, powerful Jesus is humble in heart. Second to last one. Come to me and find rest for your soul. Why? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is our shelter, our high tower, our fortress against the storm. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Out of there was talking about the battle between the Israelites and the Syrians, I think it was. But he was saying, when the enemy comes in like a flood, don't worry, I got it. I'll raise up a banner. I'll raise up a standard. And we have to learn to raise up a standard. When the enemy comes and says, do stupid, we go, no, I'll raise up a banner. We want to live in the banks of obedience and faith. And when that peace comes, we walk in it. Other shelters offer rest. Other yokes seem easy. Other burdens feel light. But they are an illusion in the end, because they will enslave and destroy. They will yoke us into a place where we don't want to be. We need to only take the yoke that Christ offers. Last one, as I said. Five, an open invitation. Jesus is giving us an open invitation. To all who are weary and burdened, there will be the full presence of God, which brings rest everlasting. Jesus offers us true rest. We're going to learn to rest in Him, rest in His presence, not fighting and conflict. Sometimes the conflict is just within. You know, Scripture says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Got rid of the inner conflict. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls will be found in seeking the ancient paths and the good ways, the way of repentance, the way of reconciliation, the way of the fear, the love of God. Let's stand together this morning, please. Father, we just come to you today, Lord God, and we offer ourselves again to you, Lord. If you're in a place of conflict or unrest, Say, Lord Jesus, this morning again, I just come and I submit myself to your yoke. That which is easy and light, Lord. Thank you that you have provided this for me. Thank you, Lord God, that I set aside the things that try and distract me and take me away from your purpose and your destiny for me. God, let my spirit be at rest within me. Thank you for the promises over my life that bring rest. Thank you for the promises over my life for my destiny that you have for me, Lord. Thank you for the promises of eternal life with you, Lord God, my true Canaan with you. Holy Spirit, we come this morning, Lord God, and we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your healing in this place today. We thank you for your power in this place today. Thank you, Lord God, that you will take me from striving to resting in you, Jesus. Thank you for the amazing job that I have. Thank you for the busyness that I have. But God, I want to make you first, put you first in everything I do. At home, at school, at work, at play, at church. Wherever we are, Jesus, we want to put you first. Bring rest to my soul, Lord. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.